Hey everybody, and welcome back to another half episode of Random Chatterings. I'm Arlilo Rodriguez, and my special guest today is...
Lorenz Kim.
Awesome, alright. And we are doing the month of King of the Hill. We'll be talking about 5 episodes of King of the Hill in the month of September. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 17's Hank's Dirty Laundry, written by Jonathan Abel and Glenn Berger, and directed by Sean Cashman. This episode is so magical to me as an episode of television program that came out in the 90s. This is a beautiful, beautiful episode.
Oh, indeed. Indeed. Very saucy indeed.
It's not just the sauciness. It's the material, it's the subject matter, it's the way it's discussed.
Oh my god.
It's the way it's the type of humor about it. It's I'm sorry, I have to apologize. I just drank like one bottle of hard cider, so I might stumble my words a little bit here. Mm-hmm. But this episode is like one of those magical episodes of season two. Like, there's season one was great in its own way, but I think it's still kind of balancing like what type of humor are we going for. This is when they figure out this is who Hank Hill is. This right. is the type of like staunch like stuffed shirt that he is. Like the type of rigid in his ways kind of person he is, that is so insistent about something that he will literally go to the furthest length he can to prove he's right about something. But we should
does start... it take a toll on his urethra? I don't know.
I don't know about...
I'm sorry, someone had to bring that up.
I don't know about that part of it. But anyway, this episode, so Hank's Dirty Laundry, this episode is very aware of what it's going to do, and it waits until the very end of the first act to do this, or at least the first commercial break, if you want to put it in terms of television rather than in terms of not the screenplay, but like the TV play. Mm. Or the teleplay, I guess is the appropriate term, but... It starts with like it's Hank driving home and driving with his truck, and it's like the music couldn't be like more like whimsical and classical, and it's like beautiful, and there's birds out in the sky. it's like so Disney-esque in that kind of way. Hank is like greeting his neighbors, and it was like, oh yay, and this is Hank, and everyone's just really happy. And then Hank arrives, and Peggy is drying out his underwear in
Hank's dirty laundry, people.
Yeah, it starts off right immediately with that kind of thing.
No, no, no! These are my personal private undergarments. Now the whole neighborhood knows I wear them.
Well, I am sorry, Hank. The dryer broke. Again. It's actually moistening our clothes now.
So then now they have to go and...
Ah, okay.
So now they have to go and get a new dryer.
Right.
But the running joke in this episode, and I think it's fair mentioning this right now, is that Bobby is with Luann. Luann Platter, we should say. She is... Okay, she's a family member? A cousin?
I think she's a cousin. I think she's Bobby's cousin, I want to say.
I think Bobby's cousin. She is living with the Hills because she used to live in the trailer park, but there's actually an episode about that. But she had to move out of the trailer park because her mother was very bad. I'll just put it that way. Was very bad.
Yeah, kind of an alcoholic.
An alcoholic. Oh, yeah, she tried to stab her husband with a fork.
Wow. Talk about dysfunctional.
Oh, yeah. So, we won't talk about that episode. But Luann is now living with the Hills. So, there's, like, because of Luann's, like, more... I don't know how to explain this exactly, but just, like...
She's a little oblivious to things.
Yes, so she's...
A little ditzy.
A little ditzy, a little bit of like, a stereotypical blonde kind of character. But then you realize they don't do this as often in later seasons, which is unfortunate. But in the earlier seasons, like, she knows how to repair a car.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So she's very knowledgeable.
And Cotton Hill would just give her shit for it. Like, this is... No. Repairing cars. That's not for women.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, Cotton Hill is Hank's dad. You know, like, World War II vet. Like, what? And all that.
Right, exactly.
Besides all that, he's kind of a shitty person.
Oh, he's an absolute misogynist, horrible person. We, unfortunately, will not get to talk about Cotton until a little later, but we'll hold off on that. But basically...
Yeah.
So
he amuses me, though.
Luann is... I'm sorry?
He amuses me, though. He's kind of like the he's kind of like the Eric Cartman of South Park. He's kind of that to King of the Hill.
He is a loose cannon. He's a character that can get to say things that none of the other characters would get away with saying. And it's mostly because he's old. He's just different perspectives. He's from a different time. But he's still a shitty character. But anyway, So Luann is in her underwear. Mm-hmm. It's like putting up the laundry, and Hank is like, whoa! He's really uncomfortable. Hank is really uncomfortable. Like, he has sex with Peggy, of course. And there's even an episode, we won't talk about this episode again, but Buck is talking about, like, Hank thinks that Hank is like a puritanical kind of guy who's like, I know you don't have sex. And then Hank says, well, that is not entirely accurate. But Hank is uncomfortable with sexuality.
Yeah, he's like very much that, like, I guess, like, old school, traditional, I guess, Christian.
Yeah, you know, you could absolutely say that. Protestant, he's actually Protestant. Well, I mean, yeah, Christianity.
Definitely.
Protestantism, yeah.
Christian.
Yeah. Protestant type of person. So that's a little hint as to, like, the subject matter of the episodes. It's like he's really uncomfortable with sexuality, especially his own family members. So they go out to buy the dryer, and then Hank tries to use his credit card, and his credit is rejected because...
After he tries to find a propane dryer, and seems like... He is the salesman.
That's true.
Like,
yeah, that's true.
I'll run you through the numbers.
Yeah. And then Peggy's like, I just want to buy a goddamn dryer. She doesn't say that because you can't say that in
television.
Public TV. Not public TV, but like national TV, I guess I should say.
Like, Peggy was just like, I just want to just get it and get out of here.
I just want the fucking dryer.
Boy, Hank is a lot more picky. And meanwhile, Bobby and Luann have their side story.
That's right. Okay, that's what
and
I was getting
Bobby,
to.
Yeah. Bobby... Go ahead. Thinks that like Peggy and Hank are there to buy him like a surprise birthday present,
right?
And oh, Bob, he's like this like very just easily amused kid, and he just goes up to like one of the laundry machines, and he's like, "Whoa, it's like watching television."
And it's so funny because like there's like Hank, you're kind of disappointed about the bad credit, and they're trying to figure out what's going on here, and it says. No, he doesn't know what's wrong with his credit yet.
Right.
But then it just cuts to Bobby, like, with, like, a Nerf gun with the bike, and he's just saying, I'm having fun, and it's on sale!
Trying to subtly hint to Hank and Peggy what to get him for his birthday, which is not even for another month.
That's exactly what that is! I didn't even think of that. It was just being Bobby.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the type of subtle shit that you don't... pick up on King of the Hill. I never read that scene that way.
Yeah.
That's so funny. So Hank tries to figure out what's going on with his credit. Why is his credit suddenly being rejected? And he goes to, he talks to someone in Stricken Propane. This character isn't really shown that much. I don't remember who the character was that he talks to. It's like an accountant character. She has sunglasses.
I don't know.
I think her name is Donna.
Okay.
I think they retcon her appearance actually. In later seasons, Donna is like shown to be a brunette. Yeah. But like in this episode, she's blonde. I think it's Donna, but I might not be right about that. But basically, Donna finds a way to check online about Hank's credit, and Hank finds out from there that there's an expense, like a $40 expense from Arlen Video, that he hasn't paid off, or like there's a late fee. And so Hank goes to Arlen Video. I might be skipping a lot of stuff here, but whatever. So Hank goes to Arlen Video with Peggy, I think. Like Peggy and Bobby. Not to return it, but to figure out what's going on. And then Bobby thinks they're buying me, Luann, they're going to buy me a movie for my birthday.
Yeah.
And then the cashier, who is at the computer, and that information actually will be relevant later in the episode. But the cashier goes up to Hank and tells them that, so you seem to have never returned cuffs and collars. And Hank claims... I have never seen that movie. Oh, dude. There's going to be some beautiful porn movie jokes. There's going to be some beautiful porn movie jokes.
Oh, I've got a couple.
Oh, my God. I can't believe
I've got a couple.
We'll get to those. We will get to those. But, like, Hank is yelling at the. It's even funnier in hindsight. Is this the first time I've seen this episode? It's not as funny. But then Hank goes to Bobby and asks, Have you seen Cuffs and Collars? And
You seen Cuffs and Collars?
Cuffs and collars. Cuffs and collars. And Bobby has no idea what he's talking about. He's like, I don't think I've heard of that movie. And then Hank is like stomping in the stores, like figuring out what's the type of movies. Is this action comedy, action adventure, action? And then the guy says,
go to the left. Backwards and make a left.
Go back and take a left. And Hank walks through beads and the camera pans up and says adults only. Hank's in there for like 2 seconds, pops out immediately, is like, whoa, and, or like, whoa, like something like that, and he is accused of not returning a porno tape.
Oh my god.
And he is very insistent that he did not rent this tape. And there's a
great... He is adamant about
it. Adamant, that's a perfect word for putting it. Adamant that he did not rent this tape. Goes up to the guy and says,
"Nope, we didn't rent it. So if you could please erase the $40 and penalize yourself whatever you think is fair, we'll be on our way."
"I am sorry, but the computer won't let me erase anything until you either return the tape or pay the $40.
"I told you I didn't rent the tape. Now who's calling me a liar, you or the machine? Because I want to know whose ass to kick."
"I'm not calling you a liar, sir."
"Fine. Now, where's the ass on this thing?"
Oh my god. That's just Hank's solution to everything.
Just kick ass.
"I'm gonna kick your ass."
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god. Well, well, we're gonna delve into that aspect in another episode.
Oh, Armory. We will. There's it's in another episode where there's a lot of that staunchy kind of conservative kind of perspective thinking. But it's also worth mentioning that Nancy and John Redcorn are also there, and we mentioned this briefly in the first episode of this miniseries, but they are fucking. Nancy's having an affair with Dale, who's her married husband, but she's been having an affair with John Redcorn, who is a Native American. We should just say that now.
They even have a kid out of it.
They have a kid as well. It's like them nodding disapprovingly, but you know that they're fucking. So like that kind of hypocritical kind of thing. And then that's how Dale finds out that Hank in the adult section of the video store.
Man, yeah.
And then Hank and Peggy, they kind of have the scene together. And Peggy's, it's kind of interesting to see Peggy's perspective. Like, she's not as conservative as Hank. And she's kind of like, just admit that you stole the, or that, not that you rented the tape and just pay the $40.
Yeah, Hank is just not going to let it go. And he's like,
"No, it's not about $40. It's about my principles."
I think that's pretty much how he says it verbatim.
No, exactly. But it's also just like, it's like, "I would never rent one of those movies." It's like, "I never rented it." He's like, that's like this thing he says repeatedly to Pinky. And Pinky, like, just kind of trying to be in the little, like, accepting. He's like, okay, maybe you did, but it's fine. And then we can get past this.
Peggy's more like, "You know what? Just suck it up, pay the money, and let it go."
Right, exactly. And then, so the guys are talking about the porn tape, and Bill is trying to be like a white knight type of person, saying, "Oh, you don't write that tape.
It's demeaning and
degrading." And if you're watching this the first time, I mean, I don't know if there's a conversation we can really have about the validity of porn or like the necessity of it. We can just talk about the episode itself, but it's pretty clear that Bill is hiding something with his perspective about it.
And I didn't really notice it that much the first time.
No, you know, I don't think you think about it the first time.
Yeah.
But you really think, like, it just seems like, it seems fair. It feels like it fits his character, though, because, like, yeah, Boomhauer's maybe a little, not sleazier, but, like, that kind of thing. But there's weird, like, there is this kind of prudish attitude about porn. And we're talking about porn, like, in the 90s, like, when you actually had to go to a store to get it rather than the internet where it's all fucking free.
Pornhub.
Pornhub. Exactly. So, but
don't ask how I knew that one.
That's when Dale, like, Hank mentions the things about, like, this information's in the computer, and then Dale talks about the beast.
"Computers don't make errors. What they do on purpose. By now, your name and particulars have been fed into every laptop, desktop, mainframe, and supermarket scanner that collectively make up the global information conspiracy, otherwise known as the beast."
And it collects information from all resources. And, yeah, I don't know. That doesn't sound like anything that's happened recently. Facebook! Facebook! So that's the first time that Dale talks about the beast. And Hank's just, again, it's another conspiracy theory. It's bullshit. But
Lord,
there's a little bit of truth to it. Because it turns out, later on, Hank is just as Strickland Propane. He gets a phone call.
"Strickland Propane.
Hello, Hank?
Speaking.
How you doing? It's Matt.
Oh, hey, Matt, how you been?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Uh-huh.
So, how's, Peggy?
She's fine, and how's, do I know you?
Hank, if you like Cuffs and Collars, you're gonna love Rugburn 2, and by Rugburn 2, I mean Rugburn also. Rugburn 2 isn't very good.
What? But who is this?
You know, Matt, from Consenting Adults, the country's largest supplier of mail-order adult entertainment.
How many can put you down for?
Zero. God, please, watch your mouth. This is an interstate phone line."
And it's like he's yelling, and then people in the office are noticing him yelling. He's like, who's on the radio? Something, something. I don't know exactly what he says. But Zizek trying to play it off. And then this fucking guy...
Play it off like it's a telemarketer.
Like a telemarketer. This fucking guy does something. He clicks his information or just sends it out. And this is hilarious montage of, like, basically porn tapes being produced. And a shitload of... Shipped out to Arlen, and a shitload of porn tapes stuffed into Hank's mailbox. And it has the other great line from Bill. I wrote this down because this is fucking great. And Bill, like, once again, is with, like, a white knighting kind of thing. He's like, shame on you, Hank Hill.
Shame.
To let it spill into the street where my future children will someday play.
Oh, my.
Shame on you.
Oh,
and then
Lord.
He, like, steps away across the street and screams out, shame! It's so good.
Oh, my God. And, of course, like, Hank just tries to deny it. I mean, naturally. But good God, man. So, like, it kind of reminds me of, like, the scene from, like... Have you ever seen that movie, like, 40-Year-Old Virgin?
A long time ago. I think that movie's great.
Okay, so it was, like, when Paul Rudd's character... Paul Rudd's character, he's, like, one of, I guess Andy's, like, the guy, like, that Steve Carell's playing.
Yeah.
And he's, trying to, like, help him, like, you know, get laid and whatnot.
Yeah.
So he, like, walks over to Andy's apartment with just a big box of porn. And he just, like, tries to hand it off to him and just give it. And, like, Andy just, like, does not want it. That's exactly what is going on.
Yeah, no,
here.
It's so funny that you just mentioned that, because there's a scene when Hank tries to put this, like, he tries to give it back to the post office, and there's a great scene where he just, like, puts the tapes and he says, I want these addresses removed, which, I mean, he's not wrong. He shouldn't have received this fucking tapes. He didn't say, send these tapes to me, please. This is what I want. Like, somehow they got Hank's information. And I think, again, like, I think the like, he pushes the tapes, she pushes him back, it's so funny. And then Hank just takes them angrily.
He
and
just
then,
tries to get rid of it.
Exactly, and then Hank, and
my
then
God.
Mentions, the woman mentions, we'll put information into the computer, and then it's like, Dale, no, and Dale's right there, he's like, no computers. And then Dale mentions to Hank, okay, if you know what you know, you're in trouble, we can give you a fake identity, you can be this, I don't remember this exactly, but, like, this little Puerto Rican boy.
Oh, my.
Guatemalan boy, that's what it was.
God.
I'll give the birth certificate to this Guatemalan boy, and Hank is just saying, no, it's fine. Fine. I don't have to worry about,
like,
that.
My favorite part from all that was when, like, Hank just tries to, like, dump all of it in the junkyard.
Yes, oh my God, yes.
Yeah, okay, let me tell this one.
And
then, like the junkyard, I guess, like, some inspector guy or, like, a cop.
It's a cop.
Up.
It's a straight
cop.
Cop. Like,
yeah.
Hank says, oh, damn it, like, it's the Vice Squad.
Yeah, yeah. So Hank is, like, trying to bury, like, the pornography.
Yeah.
And the cop comes in, and he just, like, scans it. And he's like,
wait a
sir,
minute.
we can't have you, like, dumping, like, any electronics. Guess what it was, man?
It was a fucking vibrator.
It's a vibrator.
Vibrator. It's a wand massager, see? It's a wand massager.
God. And, you know, like, I was just sitting there, like, when I just watched that this week, and I was just like, you know what he should have done? He should have tried to just open up his side business and just sell that, because it would make a lot of money.
Probably.
And this just goes into my joke for the episode.
Yeah, yeah.
My name is Hank Hill, and I sell BDSM and BDSM accessories.
You can make a killing doing that.
Oh, my God.
But that scene is even funner, because then Hank, because he's fucking desperate at this point, says to the cop, oh, actually, my real name is, I'm a Guatemalan boy from, he is, like, trying to come up with this bullshit story, runs off from a cop, uses, like, the foam material, I don't know what it really is, but it's a foam material, and uses that as his getaway, and the cop slips on it, and Hank runs into his truck, runs
yeah,
off.
Yeah, that's clever. I don't even know, like, what that is.
I don't know.
Is it some kinky whipped cream shit? Or
maybe? It was, like, pink and shit? I don't know. Maybe it's, like, a lubricant? I don't fucking know.
It's, like, some, like, I don't know. It's, like, a foamy, silly string type of material.
I really don't know.
We can only speculate, right?
We can only speculate. And it's at this point that Hank is at his wit's end. He actually goes to Arlen Video, and this is when the episode starts getting a little sad, sort of. not sad, but like you really start to feel sour. Sorry for Hank. He's actually at Arden Village saying boycott Arden Village. He has a sign up, and then Peggy sees it and it's like, what are you doing? Yeah. You're making a fool of yourself. And Hank is still adamant about like, I have to prove this because it's wrong. And then Peggy's just saying, you're not even listening to a word I've been saying. Just pay the damn $40. This is when Peggy like gives up on Hank and says, I'm not going to be part of this crusade anymore. You're on your own.
Yeah.
And it's a really disappointing thing. But then we cut again. And Hank is just like, he doesn't really have anything to go on. Like, he actually wants to take this to court, but he has nothing. And they even said in the episode, he has nothing. And this is when the secret messages start coming back. And I think I wrote down one of them. So there's something, but it's so funny because, like, I think Bill is with Dale and Boomhammer and Peggy. They're being really sorry for Hank as he's just, like, sitting there. Like, with the sign, like, honk if you hate Arden Video. And Bill says, all he wanted was for his clothes to be dry.
Wow. It all started from a dryer, people.
That's all. Dryer. This is all for a dryer.
Dryer. And it leads all the way up to pornography. Exactly.
And then there's the great...
You can't come up with this shit,
there's
man.
The great moment when John Redcorn honks, and then Hank like, goes up, oh, yeah, yeah, fight for the cause. And it's Nancy going into John Redcorn's Jeep. But it's Dale who's laughing at Hank. But we audience know, we know exactly what's going on there. So wow. That's actually, like, that's one of those jokes that didn't make sense. It's like, oh, it's just Dale being mean to Hank. But it's like, oh, no. That's very intentionally, like, Dale being not aware of the affair going on.
Oh, definitely.
So it's at this point that anonymous person, let's call him. We'll find out later who this person is. Anonymous person drops off. Drops off 4 porn tapes for Hank.
I believe you, Hank. The answer is in the tapes. A friend. I need these back when you're done. A friend.
And, Lorenz, let's go over some of the names of these amazing porn tapes. So there's Cuffs and Collars, Jailbait, Hung Jury, and Illegal Entry.
Oh my god.
Jailbait. My god. How did they get away with that in 1997? In 98? Jailbait.
Who knows, man?
I don't.
At the same time, though, I mean, it kind of makes sense that it was like in the late 90s, not quite as politically correct back then.
That's
you know?
Very true. So now Hank, against his firm beliefs, has to watch these porn tapes. And he does, and he puts down his family photo, closes the blinds, and puts...
Even, like, lowers, like, the picture.
Lowers the picture. Yeah, lowers the picture.
Oh, my God.
And starts watching these tapes, and then it's, like, great fake porn acting. He's like, oh, I heard you called for a plumber. Oh, yeah, let me... I don't know.
Just, like, all that just kind of going on in the background. Hank is, like... not enjoying it, he's just analyzing it.
No, exactly, because he's just trying to figure out what exactly is my case.
He's like in pure Batman detective mode at
that point. Yeah, no, completely. And then there's a point when he's actually like, well, there's also a great joke, which this joke is funnier to me because it's not in the syndicated version. In the syndicated version, they usually have some, like a minute of the show cut off for commercials. Mm-hmm. So there's a joke I had no idea about until I saw this on DVD, the masturbation joke. Which is un-fucking believable they got this on network TV. Hank is working with his pen, and the pen isn't working, so he's like, it's like he's shaking the pen to kind of get the ink. From Peggy's perspective, looking behind, she thinks Hank is jerking off.
I didn't even see that.
It's like, then Peggy goes off screen, like from the doorway, and says, Bobby, for the love of God, get out of the house! And then Bobby just goes, okay. Has no idea what's going on.
Yeah. Man.
And then Hank is watching the tape, the porn tapes more carefully, and then he realizes, wait a minute, that's it, ha ha! And he takes a Polaroid of this woman's ass, and now it's the court date. And again, everybody thinks Hank is crazy for even doing this. Even the judge is saying to Hank, because she's talking about like you say you're a victim of the beast of this internet conspiracy called the beast, and then Hank says that is correct, Your Honor, and then the judge says. Why didn't you just pay the $40? And then Hank says, because I can prove it. And then Hank is kind of doing the lawyer talk, like if he had the suspenders and doing like, now I'm no big fancy lawyer or something. But he kind of does that a little bit here, which is great. because he's like reveling. He's like, oh man, I fucking got it. I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Cuffs and collars. The tape I never rented. 68 minutes into the film, actress Dee Dee Cupp bends over to shoe her horse. Now, if you pause the tape and look closely, you can just make out a tattoo on Dee Dee's left buttock that reads, I heart Charlie Sheen. Mrs. Cupp also makes an uncredited cameo in Jailbait, a tape which marks veteran porn star Fernanda Valli's return to the adult film industry on the occasion of her 18th birthday. Now, at the 70-minute mark, Dee Dee bends over to shoe a donkey. What do we see on her left buttock? Nothing. There is no tattoo. This can only mean that Jailbait was made before Cuffs and Collars. Now, why is this important? Because Fernanda Valli turned 18 on July 5th, 2 weeks after I supposedly rented Cuffs and Collars.
Is it possible that I went into Arlen Video and rented a tape that didn't even exist? I think not! And then everybody applauds, and it really is a cathartic moment.
It's like courtroom drama, right?
Exactly.
There.
It's so wonderful, and it's so great, because then it pays off with the line, this may be line of the show, the judge saying, "I let the record show that Mr. Hankill really knows his pornography."
And
then Hank says, "Thank you, Your Honor." And then what happens after that? Oh, that's right!
The culprits.
That's right. So, the tapes... So, someone leaves an envelope behind and collects the tapes.
Congratulations, a friend.
Exactly. And it's Bill. Bill...
Yeah.
It was Bill's tapes all along.
Yeah. And, you know what? Just... Didn't surprise me.
No.
Yeah.
No, he's very lonely. I don't even blame him for having those tapes. Don't blame him at all.
And we are going to get into his character.
Oh, the next episode, holy shit. Guys, please stick around for the next episode. No spoilers. But anyway, it's so funny though, because like, we know why Hank went to such lengths to be true, to be correct. Reminds me a little bit, like you said, Malcolm in the Middle, Lois. That one episode when she was insisting that she was right about the person like who bumped into her.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. While she was like pulling out at work.
Yes, exactly.
Like yeah. In Malcolm in the Middle. Right.
Exactly. Like it was that same kind of thing. It's like, I know I'm right.
Hal pretty much says, you know what? You're just going to have to admit that sometimes you're wrong. And then Lois just finally lets it go.
Yeah.
But then Craig brings in the video.
Yeah, from a different convenience store, a different perspective.
And it says that, actually, Lois was right all along. She is innocent.
Yeah.
But then Hal just pauses, looks at the boys. The boys look back at him. They kind of exchange this look. And then Hal just, like, pauses it.
Yeah.
Stops the video, takes that tape out, and smashes it.
Yep.
And then says to Craig in a very threatening manner, kind of like how he is in like Breaking Bad later on.
Yeah.
Show you definitely do have to watch if you haven't.
I do have to watch that, yeah.
Yeah, but he's just like, you will never, ever speak of this to Lois. You understand?
And then Dewey comes up out of like from like above or something. He's like, got it.
Just like the youngest, like smallest, like, one out of all of them.
Yeah. Oh my god. It reminded me a lot of that, like that same kind of like, I know I'm right about this and no one can prove me wrong about this. That same kind of like crusading, that's a way of putting it.
Yeah.
But then it's like,
there's definitely parallels.
So then it's like Hank is cheering with Peggy and it's like, oh, this is great, this is all over. And then Hank says, oh no, this ain't over yet. And it's like a legitimately like tense scene, like when they go back to buy the dryer and they're just waiting in anticipation if the credit goes through, and they're like, it's sweating a little bit, and it does, and it's so great. And then there's something so great about the way that the camera goes. I know we're just talking about this and we don't have clips, unfortunately. Maybe we'll have clips in future in maybe other episodes of this miniseries, but that satisfying shot of them coming in with the dryer, it's like from a high angle, so it shows like that immense size of the dryer. It's just like that triumph of Hank coming home with the dryer, and then it's like,
I think everyone applauds.
They do. It's like he's like, they're honking. It's like, woo! And like the way, I don't know, I don't know another situation where you were doing this, but then it's like, it's also payoff for Bobby, because like something we didn't mention that happened earlier is like, Bobby really thinks there's gonna be a surprise party for him And then there ends up not being a surprise party, and he's disappointed on the front of the door. And then Hank and Peggy arrive with the dryer, and then Bobby says, "A dryer! It's perfect!
Oh my god.
This is the best birthday ever." And then it cuts to credits, and then it cuts to, how much more perfect could this be? A porn version of the King of the Hill theme song with audible moans.
Ouch, wow, wow.
Exactly. Oh my god. This show can be something utterly beautiful sometimes. Ah, god damn it. It's just in terms of just like Hank's rigidity, in terms of like an episode where it's funny, and I'm just kind of borrowing from Talking Simpsons, like Bob Mackey mentioned this a little bit, but like the reason this moment is funny is because this is exactly what Hank would do. Like, this is not off character, frankly. In The Simpsons, there's more type, again, I'm repeating this from Bob Mackey, there's humor that's against characters, like Homer saying something funny, or like Homer saying something smarter than he usually does. But in this show, that is exactly what Hank would do. He would go to such lengths to prove that he did not write
this. He's just so stubborn and set in his ways. That's exactly the way he is.
And that's what makes this episode so beautiful, because it covers a topic. Like, talks about pornography in a way that it's kind of like, it's not like shaming people who watch it, but it's just kind of, it's more about like Hank's perspective on it, like his very conservative, very rigid perspective about it. And that's what makes it so beautiful. That's what makes it so fucking hilarious. It's a gold. It's gold. It's gold, Jerry. It's gold. Lorenz, final thoughts.
Hank didn't even keep the tapes, man. What is wrong with
him? He didn't want them.
Or even try to sell them. Come on, man.
He didn't want them.
Yeah.
We didn't want them.
At least sell them, man. You could make a killing doing that.
Especially all the other porn tapes. He left them in the dump.
Yeah, those get to waste, man.
Oh, man.
Oh my god!
Yeah, so that was Hank's. That was Hank's Dirty Laundry. Next week we'll be talking about season 3's pretty dresses. So I hope you'll all be able to join us then. Lorenz, thank you for joining me on this episode.
You're very welcome.
All right, everybody, that's been Random Chatterings. We'll see you next week. Take care, everybody.
Bye.